So if you have your Bibles, turn in the book, the first book, Genesis chapter 1. It's about all the further we'll go to go. In the beginning, God. Wow. You ever try to explain that to your kids? You know what they say? Well, where did God come from, Mom? I don't know. I don't know where he came from. It's hard for me to have this concept. For you and me, we have beginnings. We have a birth date. We have a starting point. And so we try to fathom, where did God come from? I don't know. But before we can talk about this planet that we happen to be on, of all the planets in the universe, why did God create all those planets? He's got plans for them. He has plans for them. But it's interesting that he picked this one, because you see, this is the only one that's perfect for habitation. Where he placed it and where he located it allows us to have habitation on this planet. But before we can talk about planet Earth, we're going to talk about what he did before he created Earth. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the what? Heaven singular. Heaven and the earth. So, this particular next half hour will be devoted to heaven. We're going to do this in a chronological way. You might have never had this taught this way, but this is the way I see it as chronologically first happening. Before we have the earth, we have heaven. And we find that sin originated in heaven, not earth. It started with the most beautiful angel God ever created. Beautiful. Not the pictures you see. This angel was beautiful. Hard to describe, but we're going to look at the description of him. He was beautiful. Till he decided he wanted to be like the Most High God. He wanted to be like God. So that tells me that the Lord gave the angels a free will, much like he would give Adam and those thereafter. He gave them a free will. Now, you see, that's important, because that means there will be only those people who desire or wish to follow him. And even in heaven, Satan decided he wanted to be like God. And not only did he rebel, one third of the heavenly host rebelled with him. Now, we don't know how many angels God created. It's not recorded for us. But we know in the book of Job, he says there were myriads of angels. Millions of angels. We have no number. But Satan was able to get one third of the heavenly host interested in doing what he wanted to do, is rebel. And so we go, let's see, where would be a good place to go? Well, let's go to Revelation. We'll go from the very first book of the Bible all the way back to Revelation. Revelation, there was war in heaven. Book of Revelation, war in heaven. Okay, let me go. Revelation. I must have put a marker in there. There it is. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, she being with child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. You know this child is Jesus. This is who the child is. It's Jesus. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. There's where we get one third of the heavenly host, because stars here is referred to angels. Throughout the scriptures, stars will be referred to as angels. He drew one third of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We know that the devil indeed tried to do that through Herod the Great. Remember, Herod told the wise men, "Would you also tell me where he is so that I too may go worship him?" He wasn't interested in worshiping. He was treating him as a usurper from Rome. He thought that he would be a deliverer, a king who would take over his position as Herod the Great. He had no desire to worship him. He wanted to kill him. This is where we have it. This is what's talking about here. He desired to kill the man child. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That's the resurrection. It talks about the resurrection. The woman fled in the wilderness. We know that she went to Egypt. We know she spent some time there. They should feed her there 1,203 days. That's 1,260 days. Verse 7 is where I was looking. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Michael is the prince of Israel. He is the prince. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, he stands for the children of Israel. God has Michael assigned to the task of Israel. Michael is an archangel. Michael is probably the strongest angel in heaven. Gabriel's a messenger, but we know Michael is a warrior. He's a warrior angel. His angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out. The old serpent called the devil Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. So he is a prince in power of the air. He has access to earth. For now, he has access to earth. We see his work in many places today, his evil work. His unclean spirits are still at work. We know that during this time, when heaven was created, that also in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was the Word. I want to show you the Trinity here in the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God, that's the Father. God the Father. And then it says he spoke. He said. And this is where we find, where we read John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. When God spoke, he spoke what? The Word. He spoke the Word. And the Bible says, before Jesus became flesh, he was the Word. So he was there. We refer to him in theological respects as the incarnate Christ. He's the incarnate Christ. Means he was always there. He was there at the very beginning. He saw creation. He witnessed creation in his pre-existent state. He witnessed creation. And then the Bible says the Spirit of God, I'm just getting ahead a little bit, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Now, what other spirit would that be? Holy Spirit. Our God, in the beginning God, he spoke the Word. That's the incarnate Christ, and there's the Holy Spirit. We have the three right there. Now, we'll be told a little later in chapter 1, when they create man, that we're going to create man in our plural image. Our image, that's plural. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There we have it again. So throughout this, I'll be showing you things that maybe you might not have ever witnessed or had ever seen before. In reference to Satan falling, Jesus had sent those out to be witnesses for him. There were some 70. When they returned, they were making comments such as, it's interesting, they were just astonished at how even the demons were subject to them. What's interesting to me today is that we have so many people that claim they don't believe in God, but the demons believe in God. They know who he is. So many so-called atheists don't believe, but the Bible says he's a fool who doesn't believe in God. But even the demons believe in God. They know who he is. They know exactly who he is. And so when they were coming back and made the statement that they were astonished that even demons were subject to them, Jesus said this to reaffirm, to let them know that Satan, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. Now the reference I have for you, if you're taking notes, is Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. So you see, he was there in the pre-existent state. He saw the creation. He saw Satan fall as lightning, as when God cast him out. This has all happened before the earth was created. This is all things that has happened before the earth was created. So when the earth was created, a place called paradise, the abyss and the bottomless pit, all these are things that are also created, was created in the earth. It isn't mentioned in our reading here in Genesis, but these are things that were created. If you're taking reference, I'd like to read a portion in the book of Psalms. There's so many wonderful scriptures that have to deal with the creation. Psalms chapter 104. What a wonderful portion of scripture. Verse 5 through 10. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. This is talking about the earth. The earth obviously was all water. Now the Bible says, if we read further, it was without form and void. The form I'm sure it's referring to is what God's about to do. So with what he was about to do to the earth, it certainly was without form. You might say, Pastor, don't you think that might have a reference to the gaseous state of the birth of stars, much like the birth of stars? I don't know. I wouldn't argue with you. That's possible. Maybe it's referring to that state of the earth when it says it's without form. It's possible. And it was void. There was nothing on it. It was wasteland. There was nothing on the earth. Much like our planets are today. They're trying to find out if there was ever life on the planets. They send all kinds of expensive virtues at your tax expense to see if there's any life up there. I can tell them there isn't any. You know, they don't need to spend that kind of money. I can tell them that there isn't any. This is the only place that God has seen fit to place man, okay? So he covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. That's talking about water. Thou hast set a bound that may not pass over, that they turn not against to cover the earth. Hey, the boundaries. You ever been to the ocean? Any of you ever been to the ocean? Have you? Then you've seen the boundaries that this scripture's talking about. He placed boundaries where the ocean waters were only to go. He placed boundaries. Pastor, when there's storms, they go past that. I don't understand that, but he still put boundaries. You know, when the storm's over, they still go back to their boundaries. God placed boundaries where they could go. He sends the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Let's look at Job. There's so many places in Job. This is just one. Job chapter 26, if you're taking notes. Job 26. Job 26, verse 7 through 14. He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Now, you just think about that. I'd like for the scientists to tell me how the earth can stay in its place in space. How can this heavy planet stay in its place? What keeps it there? It says he hung the earth upon nothing. Think about it. He stretches out the north over the empty place. Now, I'm just going to pause there for a minute because that's where heaven is. You want to know where the location of heaven is? It's always referred to in the scriptures as being in the sides of the north. When the holy city Jerusalem will come down, it will come down out of the north. That's why the Bible says there's an empty place there. Now, the astronomers and all that have found that to be true. There's no nothing. There's no nothing there. That's not good English, but I'm just telling you, there's nothing there. In the northern part of the universe, there's nothing there. There's no galaxies and galaxies and stars. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing there. God did that on purpose. That's where heaven's located, in the northern part of the universe. That's what the Bible says. He stretches out the north over the empty place. Tells you there, astronomers, you don't need to spend our tax money to figure it out. Just get your Bible. If you don't have one, I'll get one sent to you. Hello, astronomers. He binds up the waters in his thick clouds, and the clouds not run under them. He holds back the face of his throne and spreads his cloud upon it. He has compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divides the sea with his power. By his understanding, he smites through the proud. By his spirit, he hath garnished the heavens. His hand has formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Job chapter 26. Another place in Job. Job chapter 38, 1 through 11. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, and he said, who is this that darkeneth the counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, that's angels, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, that's angels. You see, the angels witnessed God's creation as well. They saw it all happen. They saw God working his power. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and thick darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break it up for my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. That's talking about the ocean borders that I just read in another place. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since the days, and caused the day spring to know his place? It's just full. Everywhere you look, the Bible is just full. Now, we got some more places to go. We have some more places to visit. Wow, time's slipping away quickly. Whew. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, both places talk about Satan. You want to read about Satan, or as he was known as Lucifer, these are two places in the scripture, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. I'm in the Isaiah chapter 14. Let's see. Verse 4, thou shalt take up a proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar, he was in the dream that Daniel interpreted, his kingdom was gold because he was the greatest and biggest kingdom of the time. And that's what this is talking about. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who hath made people in wrath and continuous stroke, he ruled the nations in anger and persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no fowler is come up against us. Here's verse 9. This is where it starts. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. That's talking about Lucifer. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say to thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? They're speaking about Lucifer. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows, the worm is spread over thee, the worms cover thee. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Listen what Lucifer said. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. What did I tell you? Where heaven's located. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. This is speaking of Satan. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings and nations, even all them lie in glory, even one in his own house, but thou art cast out, O thy grave, like an abominable branch. Remember, it was said of Jesus that he was a branch. I am the tree and you're the branches, but it's speaking about the abominable branch. As the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with a sword and that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. There it is. Reference to Satan. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel. Back further. Further back. If you're using the Bible in the pew, I wrote it down here somewhere where it is. Ezekiel chapter 28. Again, talking about, this is a reference to an earthly king, King of Tyrus. This is an earthly king. There was a king of Tyrus, but what we see here, there are two kings represented in this passage. The earthly king, whose name is Cyrus, and then there's the other one, whose name was Lucifer. Now, keeping that in mind, let me read this passage. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say to him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Perfect in beauty. That's Lucifer. Thou hast been, listen to me, thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. That's how we know it's not King Tyrus, because King Tyrus wasn't in the garden. Lucifer was. But King Tyrus was a real king, and he lived on the earth. But this is not him. This is Lucifer. You see how it's going back and forth between these two kings? Be careful when you read this. Understand that. Thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy timbrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. That's his position he had in heaven. He was a cherub. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He was there at the throne of God. He was one of the cherubs by the throne of God. That's why Lucifer had such a desire to be like God, because he was next to God. He was an anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, that thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This is a place in heaven. This is a reference in heaven. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. What was the iniquity? Pride. That's why God hates pride. See, Lucifer wanted to be like God. That's the iniquity that was found in him, because he wanted to be like God. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Listen to me. Most beautiful angel ever created. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. What did we read in Isaiah 14? They said, well, you're just like us now. Thou hast defied thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Wow. You know where his place is? The lake of fire. The lake of fire. That's what the reference is. The time's up. Wow. Didn't hardly get started. Okay. Let me get one more scripture in here. Colossians. I'd like to get this scripture in here. Colossians talks about Jesus, 1 verse 12. 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. That's God the Father. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. There. Remember, Jesus said when he was here on earth, I and my Father are what? Are one. I and my Father are one. It would be, and they wanted to say, could you show us the Father? What did Jesus say? When you see me, you've seen the Father. Because you see, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He is the image of the Father. You want to know what the Father looked like? Jesus, made in his likeness. The Father has hands and eyes, feet, like Jesus. It pleased him that it should dwell in him all the fullness. And that John tells us in verse 14, John 1:14, and the Word became what? This time of year. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory of the only begotten. Wow. Okay, Lord willing, we'll pick up from where when we stopped here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity I have today to share this wonderful, precious word that I enjoy so much. especially this passage, is just so, so wonderful to me. Thank you for allowing me to share it today. It was a privilege and an honor. And I pray, Lord, that those who will be hearing me, perhaps by way of the satellite or internet, they'll be able to see the power in you when they see the creation and just see what kind of power you have. You're more powerful than the sun or anything that's ever been created. You are more powerful than all of that. And I pray that people will humble themselves and understand that even as powerful as you are, you desire to live in each and every one of our hearts. And so I pray that you'll ask him to forgive you of your sins and invite him to come and live in your heart. Yes, the creator of the universe desires to live in your heart. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. See you next week.